ready?
Okay. I sing real loud. I'm ready. You ready?
Okay, now that you've gotten warmed up, Addie's going to sing some more. What page? Huh? Now? You want to do the slideshow now? Okay. Well, before we do the congregational, we got a little slideshow. Set this up. We did have an absolute wonderful time. I had been there before, but I got things out of it this time I didn't get before. It's kind of like reading the Bible, you know. It's like that cow with four stomachs. Yeah, you just keep chewing the cud. Right? And bring it back up and eat it again. It's just as good as it was before. It's kind of like eating leftovers. Some people don't like leftovers. I've never understood that. For one thing, you're not wasting any money. And if you're hungry, it's just as good as it was before. But we did have a wonderful time, and Jimmy makes a good driver. He does. He got us there and got us back safe, and we'll show you a slideshow, and then you'll kind of get an idea of what it's like, okay?
From Emmanuel's veins, the sinner was plunged beneath the flood, and God saved. Since then, I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. To God save, oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Tested and tasted your grace. Oh, I was so lost till I fell at the cross, and God saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold. Jesus, how could I want more? The love of God gave me His pardon.
The world's rainbow. That's God's rainbow. Oh, what's that page, honey? If you would, get your book and turn to page 177, and we're going to sing this one together. Everybody wants to sing, right? Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready in the soaking bath and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Now, wait a minute. When we get down there, that was pretty good. When we get down there for the chorus again, and we sing, "Are you washed?" I'm going to shut up, and I want you to say yes. Okay? And then we'll go right on back into it. Here we go. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Love that old song. You may be seated. Love that old song, because that's what it's all about, folks. He shed His blood, and our sins are washed pure and clean because of it.
Amen.
It's good to see everyone. We do have some folks going on vacation this weekend, just as some of you who are here today might be gone next week. We don't know. Summer's just that way. But we hope that you'll be as faithful as you possibly can during the summer, and don't go all the time. You only get 2 weeks paid vacation here at Great Liberty, okay? Yeah, you get paid. Of course, if you attend, you'll get paid, I promise. And it'll be better than money in your bank. Amen? That's right. Well, I was looking to see if we had a visitor. Do we have one person who's never been here before? Raise your hand. Yeah, right here. Did y'all fill out a card yet? Oh, somebody's doing their job right. Okay. Then we're going to receive our offering, and when we do, if you'll just drop that card in the offering plate, we will welcome you to Liberty Fellowship Church. Let's pray. Anthony, would you do that? Amen. Is there a water? Hey, Nick, is there a water? Give me one of those waters. We have a lot of information over here, so it's taking a while to get it down on the paper. We love information, right? Okay, is that the only card now coming from that corner? The host cloth.
Okay, thank you, Tommy.
Thomas. He goes by Tommy, Thomas, Tom. Or T. Okay, Philip and Joy Taylor. Right over here, raise your hand so we know, because they're going to attack you after the service and let you know. Got to know who we're attacking. We're so glad to have you all with us today, and we hope that you enjoy the service. And if you got a problem, Lord take care of it for you. Just talk to him. Now, where's Sarah? Sarah McKenna? Right there? Oh, yeah. Most important one sitting up here. Hi, honey. Yeah. Okay, we're so glad to have you folks. Evelyn? Evelyn gave no information. She's running from the law. We're so glad to have you all with us today, and we just hope and pray that you worship and praise the Lord in freedom and at liberty to do that. And you are. If you want to shout, shout. If you want to say amen, say amen. You want to get up and run. If it's all in the Lord, you can do anything you want to do. If it pleases God, it pleases us. I was so thankful that Nick was not going to the ark. That changed because it left the door open for me to say, well, then if you're not going, you get ready to preach because I'm going to be up there for the last 3 days and I want to enjoy it and not have my mind on whether I'm going to have the message ready and prepared and God be in it. And I don't have to think about it. Just go enjoy the ark. Nick said, yeah, I'll be glad to. So here he is. I'm supposed to sing today, and I guess I'll do that. But I can say before I go on, I really enjoy being with the group that went up there. And if you get an opportunity to go somewhere with others from the church on the church bus, do it. I promise you, you won't regret doing it because it gives you time on the bus that you wouldn't have any other way. 2, 3, 4 hours on that bus talking to each other, listening to the music and finding out who likes what music. And it's all good. I think we laughed ourselves to death at Aaron Wilbur. If y'all know about Aaron Wilbur, if you don't know him, go on a bus ride and we'll show you. He's a Christian comedian, and he's extremely good. And I know some of you have been on vacation. We're happy you're back. Brenda went on a different vacation, and we're so thrilled that she's back with us today. And we want her back to be Brenda, totally, right? Brenda, so good to see you, honey. Okay, this song that I'm going to sing has to do with where Tom was in his teaching this morning. By the way, let me encourage you to come, the adults, if you would, to come to Sunday school. You will learn. If you love this book, you will love being in Sunday school because this is where it is, okay? We're all about the Word here at Liberty Fellowship. We are. And if you get to go to the ark, you'll enjoy it because it's all full of the Word. As you go through it, they let you know that the Word is the most important thing. And Genesis is the key to it all. It is, and you'll see that there. So if you get a chance to go, I would say go and learn. Take your time and go through it and read and enjoy it with your friends as you go through. This is a song that has to do with that. There is a word that I've used in my preaching, and it's called historicity. Anybody heard that word before? Historicity. Can somebody tell me what it means? I didn't mean for you, Tom. It's God in history. So from the very beginning, in the beginning, what? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, he was there. He from day one on through, he's there. There's not a part of history that you can speak of that God wasn't there. And it doesn't mean that he passed by. He was in it. He was there. He knew it long before it ever happened. God knows. So there was a story in the Bible about some guys after the resurrection going down the road to Emmaus. And they were quite dejected because something had happened that they didn't expect to happen. They didn't want it to happen. They were sad. Good thing about living for the Lord, you never have to be sad. You never have to be disappointed. You may be, but if you'll get your eyes back on the Lord, you won't be. Because he's everything. This is a song that says, "It was me." It was me. Michael Combs wrote this song. He also wrote one that says, "It ain't me." Now, if that confuses you, listen to this one first, and then we'll do that other one at a later time. The title of the song is "It Was Me." Where's my? I didn't get a mic. They don't like me. Oh. Okay. This will sound. Get it up. There you go. Okay. Let's go, fellas. Listen. Their heads were low, their steps were slow, as they walked along that long, a mess road. And as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad?"
Go back, start. Something's not right. Turn my music up just a little bit, if you don't mind, fellas. And I'll help myself right here. If you don't get it right, you go back and do it from the beginning. Okay? Because if it ain't right, it ain't right. You got to get to all the words to this because it will thrill you, I promise you. Yeah, okay. Their heads were low, their steps were slow, as they walked along that long, Emmaus road. And as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" They said, "Sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger in this town. 'Cause the one who came in the Father's name, he has been cut down. They've laid his body in the ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. In the wilderness, the children had nothing there to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living waters came forth out of a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew children were thrown in the flame, a fourth man appeared. They even called him by name. The manna, the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain. It was me. It was me. I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me. Who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Who do you think made the blind to see? Who made the very air that you breathe? Who defeated death and won the victory? It was me. It was me. I'm the one who died for you at Calvary. It was me who loved you when no one else would, who saved you when no one else could. It was me.
Morning. It's good to be out to God's house this morning and great to feel His wonderful presence. Thankful that Jesus is amongst us, that God is amongst us, the Holy Spirit is amongst us. No matter what is going on in our lives this morning, whether or not we're in a valley, whether or not we're in a storm, or whether or not we're on the mountain, Jesus is still there. And how thankful that we all can be for that this morning. If you brought your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. Now the bulletin says Acts chapter 8, verse 58. And I want to tell you right now, if you turn to Acts chapter 8 in your Bible and it has a verse 58, I want to see that Bible, okay? Because in mine it don't exist, all right? But Acts chapter 7 and verse 58 this morning, when I sent that text to Stacy, I had two kids climbing me like they were monkeys and I was a tree. So Ellie might have hit an eight or something like that, but there ain't nothing wrong with anything like that. Acts chapter 7 and verse 58, and it's good to have Philip and Joy here and Sarah and McKenna, very close friends of mine. I worked with Joy for about 8 to 10 years at Unique Elementary, and things happen and I go and teach somewhere else and she does too, but it's good to have her and her family here with us this morning. And it was great to see McKenna. I hadn't seen McKenna in a long time. I can't believe how much that she has grown. And Sarah's grown a lot too, spiritually, and we're definitely thankful for that too, okay? But we want to welcome everybody out to God's house this morning. God has all brought us here for a purpose, and that is to worship Him. If you came only to hear me, you will not get a blessing. You are going to leave extremely disappointed. But if you came to serve and you came to worship God and you come to hear the Word of God through me this morning, I just want to be an instrument of God this morning. If that's the purpose that you came, then you're going to have a good time in God's house this morning, okay? I already have. I'm not waiting to have a good time. I already have had a good time. So Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. And then after I read that verse, we're going to skip over to Acts chapter 9 and read verses 1 through 4. So first Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. And the Bible says, "And cast him out of the city," that's referring to Stephen, "and stoned him, and the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Now this is the Saul that later becomes Paul after his conversion. But we can find here in God's holy word that when he was a young man, and young man could mean anywhere from 13 years of age to his early 20s. I don't know exactly how old that Saul is here. The Bible is not specific with that, but it is specific in the fact that it is a young man. So we're thinking of somebody of 13 years of age to their mid-20s. So he is witnessing the stoning of Stephen, and the people that are stoning Stephen, they have taken off their coats, their cloth, and they have laid them at Saul's feet. Now I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 9, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 for you there this morning. And the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Dad, I'm going to ask you to pray for me this morning, okay? Amen. Thank you, Dad, for that prayer this morning. And I enjoyed the pictures on that slideshow this morning. I'm not going to lie, one of my favorite pictures was of Dwayne asleep there. That was a very good photo. Dwayne, I hope I don't see you back there asleep this morning, okay? All right. The thought that God has laid upon my heart and upon my mind this morning is God is in this story. God is in this story. And Lacey and Lene sung a song with that exact same title a few weeks back, God is in the Story. And when they sung that song, God began to deal with me on a message then, and He saw fit that today be the day, the hour that it be preached. So you all be very much in prayer for me this morning. But I want to go back to Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. And I want to be specific here with what young Saul is witnessing. He is witnessing the murder of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is witnessing the stoning of a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that Stephen was being stoned to death was that he was preaching Jesus Christ. He was preaching that Jesus died. He was preaching that Jesus had resurrected. And he was preaching the plan of salvation. And the religious leaders in Jerusalem didn't like it. And that gets me to something this morning that we all need to know and we all need to understand. Religion is not worth anything. Amen. Religion is not worth anything. Religion is not going to get you to heaven. Religion is only going to get you to hell. The only thing that is going to get you to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is not some religion, but praise God, that is the truth. We are living in a day and a time today, I don't know how many religions they are. They're probably up in the hundreds. They may even be in the thousands in the day and a time that we're living in. But I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to claim any religion to get me to heaven. But praise God, I'm going to claim the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the only way that we can make it to heaven. But what Saul was witnessing here as a young man, it had to have, well we know it did, it had a huge impact on his life. And I got to thinking about our young people in the church and what a blessing that it was to hear them up here this morning singing, Jesus loves me. What a blessing that is. But you know where that comes from this morning? That comes from them being in Sunday school this morning and the teachers working with them. That comes from mom and dad bringing their children up in God's house and things like that. Well, Saul, as we can see here, he definitely wasn't being brought up in God's house. He definitely wasn't being brought up to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was being brought up to being a believer that Christians, that disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, should be arrested and they should be murdered. So the thought that laid on my heart and mind is, what our children witness is what they will become. What our children witness is what they will become. If they witness a mom and a dad coming to church, praise God, I believe they will have that desire to want to be in church. They will grow with that desire. If they witness a mom and dad praying, praise God, I believe a child that is festering, that is helping that desire for them to pray to grow inside of them. I'm a school teacher, and Joy's a school teacher, and I know there's many other school teachers that go to church here this morning, and we are living in a day and a time where many parents think it is the school system's job to raise their children. Listen, that's not what God's Word says. It is not the school system's job to raise their children. That child was not born into a school system, praise God. It was born into a home with a mom, with a dad, and I know they're single moms. Thank God for single mothers where the dad has completely left the picture. Thank God for single mothers for working, holding down a job, and raising their children and still having their children in God's house. Thank God for those wonderful women of God. Thank God for those single dads that are raising their kids on their own and doing all of those same things. Thank God for the families that are still together. Thank God for foster parents. Thank God for people that adopt children that are being brought up in terrible situations. Why? Because, praise God, when a godly family is raising a godly child, they don't have to worry about the things of this world, bless God. And we're going to get into that, okay? But Saul, what he witnessed was what he was going to become. If you read in the very first verses of Acts chapter 8, I'm not going to read these, but this is how the Bible describes Saul in the very first chapters of chapter 8 of Acts. He was wreaking havoc against the church. Now, when I say wreaking havoc against the church, I'm not talking about a specific church that is on this street corner or a specific church up on this street or something like that. When I say the church this morning, I'm talking about disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was wreaking havoc on disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does havoc mean? I had to look it up because I didn't know. It means to lay waste to. It means to devastate. Saul was trying to devastate the early church. Listen, it is no different today. Satan is trying to lay waste to, or Satan is trying to devastate the church this morning. And Satan has weaseled his way into some churches, and those churches now lay to waste, and those churches now are devastated. And what's sad about it is that they don't even realize it and they don't even know it. And I'll get into that here in just a second. But Saul was wreaking havoc against the early church, and you might say, well, how in the world could God use somebody like Saul? Let me continue to describe Saul to you. He was known for having men and women arrested that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all in chapter 8 of Acts, if you want to go and read. He had them drug off into prison. A vicious assault against the church. That's who that Saul was. And again, when I say church, I'm talking about the born-again believer. Now, if you look at Saul through this microscope, you would say, well, how in the world could God use somebody like Saul? Where is God at in this story? The church is being persecuted. Men and women that believe in Christ are being arrested. Their kids are being left at home. And no doubt when mom and dad is being drug off, they're crying, they're whining because mom and dad is being arrested. Where is God at in this story? God's there the whole time. It's just when God chooses to act. I want to tell you something this morning. Satan may be wreaking havoc on your life like Saul was doing right here with the early church, and maybe the havoc that is going on in your life, maybe you are thinking, where is God at in this story? Satan is just unleashing on me. I got news for you this morning, bless God. God is right there in the midst, just like He was in the storm when the disciples were on the boat. The storm that's tossing you to and fro, Jesus Christ Himself is walking on the waters, praise God. He's there in the storm with you. He just hasn't chosen to act yet. He just hasn't chosen to act yet. And in Saul's life right here, he just hasn't chosen to act yet. And you might say, well, Nick, what in the world, Saul? We're talking about something hundreds, thousands of years ago. What does this have to do with today? Well, let me tell you what's going on today in our nation, in the country we live in, and some of the churches. Now, I'm not saying, I am not, what I'm getting ready to say is not to down anybody. And what I'm getting ready to say is not to down any specific church, but what I am getting ready to say comes directly from the Word of God, so I don't feel bad in saying it at all. Okay, because I know this is a church that loves the Word of God, first and foremost. A few weeks ago, I saw something on television. I'm a big sports guy, so I was watching sports. The Los Angeles Dodgers made a stand against having a pride night at the stadium. Because they had their manager is a Christian and one of their star players is a Christian. And they said, if we're going to have this pride night, we're not showing up to the game. And the Dodgers made a stand. I mean, I thought that was awesome. But then they gave in. The higher-ups in the Dodgers organization, the LGBTQ, that group of people came up against them, and you know they're out in California and things like that. So they're already Christians, already fighting an uphill battle and things like that, so they continued to have, they ended up, they're going to have the Pride Night, and I think they've already had it. The Dodgers pitcher came out and he had to apologize. And they were not mean in their stance. Let me say this morning. We can be, as the children of God, God's Word requires us to be against this movement that's going on in our country. I don't require you to. God does. I'm not telling you how you should believe. God is telling you how you should believe. Well, in the very beginning of this, the manager of the Dodgers was taking a stand, and the star pitcher for the, I'll just say his name, Clayton Kershaw, was taking a stand. Well, then they found out how much trouble it was going to cause the organization, and they found out how much money they was going to lose, and they sent out a formal apology. Don't ever apologize for standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever apologize. You may lose friends, you may lose family. It may cause a great divide at work, but I'll tell you right now, bless God, we can't serve two masters. We only serve one, and His name is God. Thank God for it. So they ended up having this transgender rally parade out in California. Now, this is going in to the havoc that Satan is wreaking on the church world today and the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this all ties hand in hand. At this parade, man, it ripped my heart. It actually made me cry when I saw it. At this parade, they had a float going by. And they had a man crucified to a cross. Now, he wasn't really crucified. He was tied to a cross. And we all know that that was portraying Jesus. And then they had a man dressed as a woman dancing all over our crucified Savior. The person that was playing that crucified Savior. Now, if you don't think Satan is wreaking havoc on disciples in the church world in the day we're living in, he is. He is. That's something that happened. Last week, the oldest church in Massachusetts, it was set up during the colonial age, colonial America. The oldest church in Massachusetts, I can't remember the name of the church, I didn't write it down, but the oldest church in Massachusetts, they had got done having a pride celebration. I love what Pastor Dan said this morning. The rainbow belongs to God. The world can try to claim it all they want to, but bless God, it's God's. Hallelujah. And let me say this too. It's time for us as Christians, and it's time for us as the church to take the rainbow back. Hallelujah. Take it back as God's promise that He would never flood the earth again. God may never flood the earth again, but He is going to send hellfire and brimstone, bless God. He will. The oldest church in Massachusetts that was set up during the colonial age had a pride celebration. Well, do you know what happened to that church that night? And some people say, well, this is just a coincidence. No, it's God. Big storm ripped through Massachusetts. A lightning bolt hit that church and it burned to the ground just like that. Amen. Now people can say, well, preacher, that's just coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God. And I believe in a higher power. And I believe that God looked down at something that He disapproved. I believe God looked down and said, this goes against contrary to the Word of God. They have a title of a church and they are no church. If they're going to celebrate pride, which is a sin, pride is a sin. Forget about the homosexual part and the transgender part and all that. Just leave that part out. Pride in itself is a sin. The fact that it's called Pride Month is a sin. Forget what they're celebrating and things like that. Listen, I'm glad that us as a church, we don't celebrate a Pride Month in ourselves and say, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. Listen, we can't have no pride this morning, bless God. We're just a humble servant to the Master. Amen. Praise God for it. But Satan is wreaking havoc against the church. This movement has weaseled its way into churches and has split churches and has split congregations and has split churches' beliefs. And it's got to the place and a point where some churches, we just don't want to preach on that because we don't want to make this section of the church matter or anything like that. Listen, that don't matter. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is the Word of God being taught, is the Word of God being sung, is the Word of God being preached, is the Word of God being promoted, because that's the only thing worthy of promoting. And then that leads to salvation, and then before you know it, your church is growing. Why? Because they're getting fed the truth, bless God. Thank God for it. So let's go to Saul, chapter 9, verse 1. I hope that made sense this morning. I will say this too. I hope all these people that are a part of this LGBTQ movement, I hope they have a Road of Damascus moment in their life. I mean that with all my heart, soul, and mind. Listen, when I was lost, somebody was praying for me. When you were lost, somebody was praying for you. And now that we're saved, we need to do the exact same thing, no matter what lifestyle they're living. They need a Road of Damascus moment in their life. So we get to Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, and the Bible says, "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings." Now I want to stop right there for just a second. Saul was breathing out threatenings. Now in order for Saul to breathe out threatenings, he had to be breathing in something. Because what you breathe in comes out. So if Saul is breathing out threatenings, he was living in a bad atmosphere. I already showed you the atmosphere he was living in as he was a young man, witnessing the murder of a Christian, holding the coats of all those that were throwing stones at Stephen. Saul was living in a very bad, a toxic atmosphere. He was living in an atmosphere of hate. He was living in an atmosphere of violence. He was living in an atmosphere of murder. Saul was living in a very bad atmosphere. Listen, if you are here and you are lost this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are living in Satan's atmosphere this morning. And even us as Christians, the devil is out there as a stumbling block trying to get us to commit sins and things like that. And we will. None of us are perfect. Even us as Christians, sometimes Satan will get us in a bad atmosphere. He will get us in an atmosphere that we don't need to be in. He will get us in an atmosphere with people that we shouldn't associate ourselves with. He will get us in an atmosphere that may be full of drugs. He will get us in an atmosphere that may be full of alcohol. He will get us in an atmosphere that may be full of hate, that may be full of envy, that may be full of strife. Satan loves to get people in that atmosphere because they start breathing it in and breathing it in and breathing it in. And the more and more they breathe in, the more and more they act like it. Because that's the atmosphere that they are living in. But thank God this morning, I'm glad that there's another atmosphere that we can live in. What is that atmosphere? Hebrews 10:25. I'm a firm believer in church, and I'm a firm believer in attending church, and I am a firm believer in the fact the church ought to be the most enthused people in the world, bless God, because of the atmosphere that we're living in. Now you tell me that church trip they took to the ark, I'll sign up for that atmosphere to live in. You tell me that church trip, that van they got on and laughed, listen to that Christian comedian, hey, I'll sign up for that atmosphere. Bless God, that big dinner table that looked like the Lord's Supper there, they all spread out, I'll sign up for that atmosphere. Pastor Dan sitting in that recliner with a big smile on his face in the house they rented. Hey, I'll sign up for that atmosphere. I'll sign up for the atmosphere where we go over here in the fellowship hall and celebrate birthdays. I'll sign up for the atmosphere where we go up to Rome Mountain and have vacation Bible school. I'll sign up for the atmosphere, bless God, when you can get here at 9:45 for prayer room. Hallelujah. I'll sign up for the atmosphere when you come over here at 10:05 and hear Tom preach. preach, teach the blessed holy word. I'll sign up for the atmosphere, praise God, when you hear the special singing and the choir singing. I'll sign up for the atmosphere, hallelujah, when Preacher Dan gets up here and preaches the eternal word of God. Bless God, give me the atmosphere of a child of God this morning. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Listen, there's people forsaking the church in the day and time that we're living in. They used COVID as an excuse, and here we are in 2023, and they're still using COVID as an excuse. Ain't no excuse. I said that, yeah. But exhorting one another, encourage one another. I wanted you to make it your goal this morning. Before you leave, I want you to go to three people. If you don't go to everybody, go to everybody. I don't care. But before you leave this morning, I want you to go to three people, and I want you to say, man, it was great to see you in church this morning. It encouraged me, and I tell you what, it encouraged you too. Exhort one another. We cheer. Oh, did you go to the Tennessee ball game last night? Yeah, man, I'd have loved to have been there. Did you go to the softball game last night? Yeah, oh, man, I'd have loved to have been there. Did you go eat at Applebee's last night? Oh, man, I'd have loved to have been there. Well, what about church? Did you go to church yesterday? Yes, and I loved it. Praise God. Let's exhort each other when we come out to God's house. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, the day is approaching. What is the day that is approaching? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you right now, when Jesus comes back, I want to be in a good atmosphere. Hallelujah. I want to be in a good atmosphere. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. Some people say it's going to be at night, so I don't know. I don't care. All I know is He's coming back. But I pray this is where I'm at when He comes back. Man alive, that'd be awesome. I'd like to be here, or I'd like to be at a cemetery. Those are the two places I'd like to be. Man alive, that'd be awesome. Okay? What does Joshua 24:15 says? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with being in a good atmosphere? Listen. Every church is not a good atmosphere. But every church that is a part of the church is a good atmosphere. And I'm thankful this morning that we have a church that is a part of the church, and this is a good atmosphere. Amen. And we're not the only. If you attend a church that is, if you're here visiting with us, and you attend a church that is a part of the church, bless God, you're in a good atmosphere. But I also want to tell you this morning. If you're looking for a church that is a part of the church that you can become a part of, this is a good atmosphere. This is a good atmosphere to bring your family into, okay? So what does man alive? It's already 11:56. Woo! We got tonight. That's all right. We'll just do a two-parter. 9:2. Breathing out threatenings, wanting to murder the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went into the high priest. This is the most religious person in Jerusalem, and the high priest gives him letters to have believers of Christ killed. That's why religion don't mean nothing. Religion don't mean a thing. And bless God, I ain't your high priest. And Pastor Dan ain't your high priest. And the Pope ain't the high priest. And the bishop ain't the high priest. And the minister ain't the high priest. But bless God, Christ is the high priest.
Amen.
Amen. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue. So he is wanting to go through Damascus, the street, go to Damascus, and he's wanting to claim all the believers in the synagogues. That if any he found, any of this way. So, I love how the Bible uses those words right here. He found any of this way. So, in chapter 9, verse 2, when the Bible says, if he found any of this way, that means Paul knew that they were different. They weren't the same as him. They didn't have the same beliefs that Saul had. They didn't have the same convictions that Saul had. That's why when the Bible says that Saul came after them that were of this way, it's talking about a specific way, and that way was different than Saul's. And that way was different than the religious leaders. Listen, I'm just going to be blunt and honest with you this morning. If somebody says that they're a Christian, but they live a life that's not that of a Christian, and it's not any different than somebody that's lost, I don't believe they're a Christian. Because when God comes and lives inside of you, and you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't live a perfect life. You're still going to sin.
and you're still going to fail God. But the difference is, you're going to feel guilty about it, and you're going to repent, and you're going to ask for forgiveness of it, and you're going to try every single day to live better for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for it. Found of this way. Paul knew that they were of a different lifestyle. They had a lifestyle that was different. John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, I cannot live a Christian life by myself. I cannot live for Jesus within myself. I cannot live for God within myself. I cannot be obedient to the Holy Spirit within myself. If somebody says they're lost and they're following God, that's impossible. You cannot be lost in following God. You cannot be lost and say, well, the anointing of God is on my life. No, that's not possible. You cannot be lost and say, well, God's going to take care of this and God's going to take care of that. No, that's not how it works. But praise God. One way that God does talk to a sinner that needs Jesus, that still small voice comes by and says, hey, you're guilty. You've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. But you know what? I'm here to tip the scale to your end and you won't be found wanting anymore. You can go on to this story and come back tonight and we'll finish the story because God's cutting me off right here. Literally, He's about to choke me. Where was God at in this story? I'll tell you what happens next, and I'm just going to introduce it to you. A mass murderer of Christians, a terrorist of Christians, a person that the devil was using to wreak havoc on the church, God got a hold of him just like that. And somebody that the church feared became somebody that the church adored. Somebody that the church worried about ended up being somebody that the church would go to for encouragement, bless God. Saul was a man that was pleasing the devil and pleasing God. He had blood all over his hands, responsible for the murder of many Christians, but God got a hold of him, bless God, because even through it all, God was still in the story and saved his soul. I want you to know one thing this morning. If you're here and you're lost, and you're living a lifestyle that's not pleasing to God, God is in your story this morning. And if He's speaking to your heart, what are you going to do about it? And I want you to know something else this morning. If you're here and you're saved and Satan is wreaking havoc on your life, I want you to know something this morning. God is in your story. If He's speaking to you this morning, not me, but if God is speaking to you this morning, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to ask Becky to come if she don't care to play something on the piano. And Tom, you're going to pick out a song for us this morning. I'm going to ask everybody to rise to your feet. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to say a prayer before we have invitation. God, I thank You for this time You've given us out in God's house this morning. I thank You for Your Spirit and I thank You for Your presence. God, I pray that I was able to say the words that You would have me to say this morning, God, in the way that You'd have me to say them. And God, I pray this morning, God, if there be somebody here this morning that's lost, that's not in the right atmosphere, God, I pray, God, that this morning be the morning that they come and accept You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, the devil's working on their mind right now saying, well, You're a Saul. Think of all the terrible things You've done, the terrible decisions, the terrible acts. Think about what You did yesterday, but God, that don't matter. Because if You're speaking to them this morning, You've inserted Yourself into the story. And it's time for them to do something about it. God, I pray if there be a Christian here this morning that Satan is wreaking havoc on their life like Saul was against the early church. They're saved. They're faithful. But God, they've just put themselves in an atmosphere that is not where they should be. Or they're experiencing trouble in their life. I pray, Lord God, that You will come into their story right now, that You will speak to their heart, and they will do something about it. All these things we ask in Your precious Son's holy and wonderful name. Amen. Go ahead, Tom.